Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Director of Client Experience and Wealth Advisor here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Join us today as we explore how true wealth comes from aligning your money, your health, and your story with what matters most. Today, I'm joined by my colleague and friend and fellow wealth advisor, Heather Deaton. Thanks for being with me today, Heather.
Thanks for having me, Christina. Mm-hmm.
So we've got a really important topic today that I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. We're talking about raising money-confident kids.
Yep.
And it's not about doing everything perfectly, because as we were talking beforehand, we know our kids are going to mess up, right?
Yes, that is part of growing up.
Yep. But it's about knowing how to prioritize. And this episode is all about just that, the simple steps that it takes or that kids and parents can take to make the biggest difference in your child's financial future.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I love how we do it at Ellen Becker, because we do like to encompass the whole family when we talk about planning, not just focusing on retirement, but how do we support kids along the way. And so many firms that have minimums for money management aren't talking to their clients' kids or talking about those avenues for how we kind of build that confidence early on. But it's also a topic that's weighing on me really heavily these days,
right?
Because I have a 17-year-old as my oldest who's getting closer and closer to being fully launched.
Correct.
And, you know, there's some nuances there that we've been trying to help set him up for good money management. And I feel like we've done a better job with our younger two, you know, when it comes to that, just based on personalities and whatnot. But I'm excited to get your thoughts and feedback today, too, because I feel like between the two of us with our kids, we've got a pretty good representation of all of these different stages, you know, spanning
right.
from just being able to start doing kind of chores independently on their own and tracking to you've got one who's, dare I say, almost fully launched.
Almost fully launched. I mean, graduated from college, started his career. My other son is graduating this May and will be starting his career and having to really figure out, you know, where his money's going to be spent, what he can afford. Both of them really will work through that in this real launched stage where training wheels will be off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think along the way, you know, having been through that journey, and especially with using similar styles, like you mentioned, the difference in your kids personality wise, but generally some similar styles, when you work with your children on their relationship to money and their values, their thoughts on charitable giving, their impulse control, all things we'll talk about today, I think that is, it's really interesting to see who they are. And I will say between the two of our kids, they've kind of held true a little bit on some of the things we saw when they were younger. And that's okay,
mm-hmm.
because it's all about learning. It's not making judgments about who you are or how you interact with money. It's just not making too many of the same mistakes too late in life.
Mm-hmm. And it's different for each stage based on their understanding, their capabilities with that.
Right.
But I do feel that the openness that I think is relatively new that we're seeing with parents and their relationships, the openness around money. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember growing up not really having a concept of what things cost,
right.
How to save. In some ways, it was done for me, you know. So by
right.
the time I started to get ready to that launch space where my son is, I made some big mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now looking back, you know, I say big mistakes. They weren't detrimental to my overall long-term financial health, but they stuck with me.
Yeah. And I did that too. You know, when I was growing up, and when we talk about that here, it's like, what's your money story? And that starts when in your formative years, it starts, you know, really pretty much right away.
Mm-hmm.
I have some, you know, memories of not feeling like my mom was real comfortable with where she was at with money. You know, there probably wasn't as much as she needed for, mm-hmm. to raise us. You know, we always had everything that we needed, and that's not a lot of extras for the wants and the wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I then, you know, had my own independence with money, yeah, I made some mistakes. That's when I said for my kids, I wanted them to make those mistakes when the risks were much lower. So we started them, you know, managing their own money in, you know, early in grade school.
Well, I think that's a great place to start when we talk about the stages with kids and kind of what's appropriate. You mentioned that you started them earning an allowance, you know, pretty early on and contributing to the household. So what did that look like for you?
So the way that we chose to do that was they got the allowance no matter what. And it wasn't much. That gave them some money to spend if we went to the store. It gave them, you know, just some funds that they would be able to save if they chose to, if they saw something they wanted to buy. But we did that they got their allowance no matter what. And there was responsibilities they had around the house. In a way, it's a little bit of a shell game. Mm-hmm. In a way, like independent of their allowance. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't do those, they had to pay me or my husband to do it. And it was, you know, like if you didn't clear your plate from the table, mm-hmm. that was a certain, you know, number of cents.
Yeah.
You know, they each, it's actually kind of funny because they are both basically living at home. The one's in college. So he'll be back this summer, but their jobs that they had along the way kind of stuck, right? One mm-hmm. of them's in charge of recycling. One of them empties the dishwasher. They didn't grow much beyond those two jobs, but that was some of the things that, you know, that's how we did it. So they got their money no matter what. And then in order to keep it, they had some responsibilities to take care of. I know I got an allowance as a kid if I did the housework that I was assigned.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just different. It's just what we chose to do. And that seemed to kind of, it eliminated the arguing about, aren't you supposed to do that vacuuming? Aren't you supposed mm-hmm. to do that vacuuming? It was like, okay, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. Yeah. And now you owe me.
Well, and in some ways, I really like how you turn that on its head, because when you think about real life and how that translates to it, mm-hmm. as an adult, we have choices. You right. either have to do something yourself or you have to pay someone else to do it for you.
Right, exactly.
You know, I think about that with things like yard work, snow removal, all of those different mm-hmm. things. So you're starting to, you set the stage for them at an early entry point to kind of start thinking about how they're spending their time and the value around it.
Right.
And also how they can contribute and help the house.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. For their responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I know we had talked about that you've done something, you know, similar with your younger kids too.
Yeah. So we do an allowance and we set up basically a chore chart.
Yeah.
And as soon as we put that chart in place, apparently my two younger kids really love checking things off.
Oh, that's nice.
So it gave them some autonomy. Mm-hmm. And the rules was, I'm going to check that chart at the end of the week. And that's how I'm going to pay allowance based off on if you did what you were supposed to do. If I have to remind you and tell you to do your duties, that's not helpful to me.
Right.
So, you know, I need you to run with it. And for the most part, they really have. And we coupled that with having their money go into a high-yield savings account. Mm-hmm. Now, my kids don't have access to technology, so I have to show them, you know, what they have. But it's been a really useful tool in helping them to understand the savings. And I show them when interest gets credited.
Yeah.
And when we're out of Target and they want to buy something and it's not something that I feel that we should be covering for them, they'll ask me, how much is in my savings account? And I show them, and they often are making a decision of saying, I'm not willing to spend that on this.
Right.
And it's giving them a little bit of impulse control too, but also helping them prioritize. One neat thing that has gone along with that is now with many of these high yield savings accounts for kids, you can get a kid's debit card.
Oh, sure.
That's linked to the account. Now, that's been really good. We started that at 11 with my middle child. Mm-hmm. And it's given her a little bit of autonomy. You know, if she's at a friend's house and she goes out or whatnot, that, you know, she can use the card herself. So she's gaining some real life experience and responsibility in maintaining that card and things like that. Yeah. And that's been really neat.
Yeah, that is using what's really, again, going to be real life.
Yeah.
You know, in the future.
Right.
But making sure to have them. I like the autonomy word that you used, giving them that responsibility. And again, if they make a mistake, the costs are so low.
Correct.
Right. If they use their allowance to buy ice cream for all their friends, that's a wonderful gift they've given them. But then mm-hmm. they can't get that Lego set, you know, that they've maybe been saving up for.
Yeah.
That's
it's choices.
Yeah, it's choices. Mm-hmm. I do think also what you can see. I just think that that's priceless too, because then you can adapt how you're going to coach Correct. Each of your kids.
Correct.
I shared a story earlier with you about how one of my sons was saving up. He wanted a fairly expensive Lego set. And it was going to be like $160. And I think he got to like $130 after he was, you know, again, saving every gift he got, every, you know, snow shoveling job he had. And he got to like $130 and just couldn't take it. Rationalized buying different Lego sets, mm-hmm. right? So he still ended up with Legos because that was what he was into at the time, but he rationalized buying yeah. something different than what his original really cool goal was for this other set. Obviously, that was his choice. And, mm-hmm. and I don't want to say I let him do it. It's yeah. like that was his choice and he did that. That was a little impulsive, you know, where he tried so hard to be so focused on that goal and only made it so far. I don't bring that topic up and say, hey, remember that Lego set? But it is something that I say, hey, let's really think about, you know, if you've got a different goal,
yeah,
keep that one in mind. And how do you get around or work with the impulses that you've got?
Yep.
So again, you can see so much of how your kids are going to be without pigeonholing them, of course. But
yeah, absolutely. I'm already seeing those patterns.
Yeah. Another thing that we talked about was charitable giving. Mm-hmm. So I know for our kids, that was an expectation. They could give wherever they wanted. It was pretty easy to give to our place of worship through their Sunday school. So that's often what they chose. But, you know, that was an expectation because mm-hmm. that's a core value of ours that I wanted to make sure, you know, rang true. And that was one of the ways to reflect that.
Yeah.
And you've done similar things.
We've done similar things with our kids, too. And we've also been, especially in the last couple of years, we've been really present in conversations around charitable giving mm-hmm. with our kids.
Yeah.
Helping them to see where the family's money goes.
Yeah.
And helping them to see that this is something that we value and we feel is really important. And from a family covenant, that's, you know, something that we feel we want to pass that on to our kids, right. that charitable giving. But helping them to see how my husband and I have budgeted that in.
Yeah.
So that we kind of set that precedent for them, too.
Yeah. I think that's really great.
Yeah.
We've done on an annual basis when they were both living at home, we would always sit down as a family on Giving Tuesday, which is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving weekend. So it's Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and then Giving Tuesday mm-hmm. is that Tuesday. And so we would always make sure to sit down and every one of us would choose a nonprofit to donate. We funded that donation. It wasn't part of their charitable giving. But, you know, that was, again, really interesting to see what was calling to them in that year. Maybe what did they do every year consistently that they could feel really good about supporting?
Yeah. I think that's a wonderful legacy.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome back to Money Sense. My co-host today is Heather Deaton, one of our wealth advisors here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Director of Client Experience and Wealth Advisor here at Ellen Becker as well. And Heather, you and I have been chatting about kids' financial futures, mm-hmm. how to build kids that have a really healthy relationship around money. And on our break, we were talking a little bit about budgeting. I know we like the term cash flow analysis.
Cash flow tracking. Not the B word.
Yep. And you use the phrase of, I'm super passionate about this because it's magical. I wanted to dive into that because I've never seen anyone quite so excited about budgeting and cash flow tracking. But it is so important. You know, mm-hmm. I often tell clients when they come in to meet with us for the first time and they say when they want to retire, I ask them what they need to spend and they don't know.
Right.
They don't know what they do spend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult for us to tell them if they're going to have a comfortable retirement or if they even can retire.
Right.
if we don't know what it's going to cost them to spend to maintain their lifestyle. So it is really important. And I love that you're passionate about it. So tell me what you mean by saying it's magical.
So right. That is kind of calling myself out a little bit as of a nerd. If my idea
nerd,
of fun,
that's why you're here at
is cash flow tracking. So I look at that as the magic part to go to what you said. It's going to, it allows you to know what you actually spend, so mm-hmm. you know what to plan for yeah. way down the road. But even kind of pulling it back earlier than that, if you know what comes in and what goes out and where it goes, so categorizing how much went to rent or mortgage, mm-hmm. how much went to dining out, how much went to home maintenance, what went to, you know, paying off your credit cards, what went to kids' allowances, mm-hmm. and kids' recreation activities,
yes.
you know, all those, you know, select teams and travel teams and all of the sports that can really add up to the parents' budget. So that shows you, are you spending in alignment with what your values are? You know, it shows you how much maybe like higher inflation or higher gas cost really impacts the rest of your budget, be the mm-hmm. B word. But it also shows you what you're not spending.
Yeah.
And that's the capacity to save more.
Yeah.
And where does that need to go? Should it go into your emergency fund? Side note, emergency funds are based off of how much you spend every month.
Yeah.
A healthy emergency fund is 3 to 6 months or even 6 to 12 months of monthly spending. Okay, right? If you don't know what you spend every month, mm-hmm. you don't know what your safety net should be, that you have easy access, yeah. liquid cash. And then again, if there's more that falls out below that after you've built up your fund, your emergency fund, then that can be increasing your retirement savings at work, mm-hmm. saving in a Roth IRA for yourself, saving in a 529 plan for your kids. And we'll circle back to how mm-hmm. this relates right. to kids, but that's the part, right? It shows you what you need in your emergency fund. It shows you what you have the capacity to maybe save more, can help you define where it should go.
Mm-hmm.
Helps you set those longer term goals of what's my lifestyle going to cost me?
Yeah.
Lifestyle creep is a real thing too, right? Yeah. As you continue to earn more, if there's not a lot of reflection mm-hmm. on where it's going, it just goes.
Yeah.
And you can't get that back. And you've lived a you know, maybe a really wonderful, exciting life, but you haven't maybe saved as much as you could have.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we don't like the B word, the budget word. So when I work with clients on this and I give them a strong, you know, encouragement to track their cash flow by looking backwards every month, they almost always, and I know you'll agree, they almost always come back and say, that was eye-opening.
Yep.
And I was spending
more than I thought I was.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. Or in the different buckets.
In the different
I didn't
buckets.
Realize how much went here or mm-hmm. there. And I don't, you know, they don't have to, we don't go through it necessarily unless they really want to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes back to aligning with your values.
Mm-hmm.
And so teaching our kids to do that same thing, right? Your kids ask you how much is in my account so I know what I can even spend.
Yeah.
Do I want to spend it? You know, that I tried to get my kids to do more of a pen to paper kind of thing, like look back at what you actually spent. It got challenging because they both had jobs with cash tips and it was, you know,
yeah.
didn't quite land like I yeah. had hoped. But having that understanding of really where you're spending and is it aligning with your values?
Mm-hmm.
And even for me,
yeah.
you know, I'm a wealth advisor.
Yeah.
Cash flow tracking is still incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you know and kind of guide on some of those things like charitable giving and how much that means to you. And are you really giving at the level that makes sense for where your goals are for that?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that as well.
You know, we talk about the lifestyle creep that happens with adults, but rarely is it talked about what we're setting our kids up for.
Right.
You know, one example I can give, I've got a tween daughter. So you had boys.
Yeah.
So you don't
Girls
know about the hair,
different.
The nails. And she asks me all the time if she can get her nails done. It's like her most favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at my age, I just started getting my nails done because my associate told me that my hands needed to look more professional being in front of clients. But it's not something I enjoy spending money
right.
on. But it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that it is not a necessity.
Right.
You know, it is a want. And so I asked her to do an exercise. And I said, okay, I want you to calculate and add up what on average you make by doing all your chores and getting your full allowance on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, come to the nail salon with me and I want you to pick out what you would want and look at what the cost of that is.
Right.
And I said, and tell me what percentage of your income, you know, would go towards nails. And she's like, I don't make enough in a month to cover this. And I said, absolutely right. Yeah. I said, right now, I will pay for her to get her nails done twice a year. If we're going on a summer vacation, I let her get a pedicure. Yeah. And on Christmas break, I let her get come with me and get her nails done. Like, those are the two times I will pay for it. Anything else she has to pay for on her own. And she hasn't gotten her nails
done. She's probably not doing that.
She hasn't ever since that. But, you know, I'm trying to instill in them too of some of the things that we do as a family now or whatnot. When you start out, if you prioritize those items, you have to give up something else. And what you're giving up is saving. You're giving up the ability to save for retirement, to retire earlier, to save for a house, to save for a car, all of those different things.
Right.
So you have to learn to go without, even if it's not the popular thing that all your friends are doing.
Sure.
So that's a difficult one for me because I feel like I wasn't quite raised that way. And I shared with you on our intermission that one of my money mistakes that I made, you know, right out of the gate when my savings account was turned over to me is spending kind of like, you know, I still had my parents bankrolling me and I didn't.
Right.
And so I spent money on silly things that I couldn't afford because I didn't know how to budget.
Yeah.
And I really want to make sure that my kids are putting in the hard work early on.
Yeah.
And seeing things like, yes, now we take bigger vacations. You and I were just talking about vacations this morning. 10 years ago, we didn't.
Right.
You know, or, you know.
Because we had different priorities.
We had different priorities. So it's all about, you know, setting that stage too.
And even when you think about them launching beyond high school into whether that's college, whether that's the workforce, whether that's a trade, having that habit and that healthy habit of the cash flow tracking and understanding. Like when they get, like, let's just say if they especially are going to college, they're with a lot of different people with a lot of different money stories.
Yep. A lot of different
parent bankrolls, right? And so making sure that they understand what their stake is in the game, which could be different than, you know, their peers in the dorms or whatever. And that's not just for college students. That's really, you know, throughout your life, being able to really be confident and comfortable in your own choices and knowing what the impacts of those are. Like your daughter, if she spends 2.5 months of her allowance on one trip to the nail salon.
That
lasts
for 2 weeks.
Exactly. She's going to realize that.
Yeah.
You know, one other story related to kids about cash flow tracking. So my husband and I had been, you know, we do our cash flow tracking. And again, we track on a spreadsheet what comes in after, you know, what hits our checking account. So after we save at work, in retirement savings, after we pay taxes and all of that, and then where it goes. And we'd been doing that for a while. Our kids were 10 and 12. I said, you know, I think it would set some expectations up and kind of level set if we showed this with them to them. And I was nervous because they're young. They don't understand when they see these dollars that we're earning, right, as professionals, that they weren't going to maybe understand that a lot of that. That's not as much as you think it is. Mm-hmm. So we did. We sat them down and I said, look at what that vacation cost us. Look at what we spend every month at the grocery store. Look at what our house payment is. We have property taxes. You're in some recreation. I do recreation. We've got a fitness, you know, membership, all the things. Mm-hmm. And I remember them looking at that and going, wow, okay. And then I kind of unveiled the income part. And it was really interesting because they'd already seen how much goes out versus how much actually gets into our bank account. So it wasn't, so I share that as that openness that, you know, I kind of took a leap. And I also said, you know, what we talk about in this house stays in this house. Like, don't go over to the neighbor's house and like share all this information with them. This is, this is, you know, we have some confidential, you know, but anyway, but just being open to be able to show that to them. And it just went, it went as good as I could have expected it. You know, there wasn't a lot of, why don't we spend more? Because they could see, you know, where our priorities are.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just share that as a, yeah, we actually showed them what we were doing too.
You know, I think there's so many positives that we've seen as like a culture shift over the last couple of years when it does come to having some of these conversations that used to always happen behind a closed door.
Right.
Still closed door, not going to the neighbors, sharing that information. But now, you know, it used to be that parents and kids, you didn't talk about
money.
You
didn't talk about it, no.
And, you know, we still don't want it to be the primary focus, the primary driver. But mm-hmm. I think taking that stigma away and talking about it, you know, can be really healthy for kids and setting them up for success.
Yeah, I think so,
you know,
too.
I want my kids, when they do make that money mistake, when they first go to college or high school or whatnot, I want them feeling comfortable coming to me because I've shared my money mistakes with them.
Right.
And they know, you know, not that mom's going to fix it for them, but how to coach them, you know, how to set themselves up for success.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the magic, the budgeting, the cash flow, you know, and how to start kind of with the younger kids. Let's talk a little bit, Heather, about some of the savings opportunities that are out there for parents to help kind of set kids up.
Yeah.
So when we talk about real little ones, we've obviously got some new options that are coming into play right now. In particular, we're hearing a lot in the news about the Trump accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you did a little bit of research on this.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to just share a few kind of highlights on what that account looks like. And then we can talk about, you know, is it really a good deal?
Right.
Is this where, you know, your money should be going?
Yeah. Like, where is the best fit for what your goals are? And really big picture, that's where all of your savings decisions should have that underbelly of what's the goal for this money?
Yeah.
Right. If even as a saving for retirement, you need to think about that or saving for any other things. So the Trump accounts are accounts that can be opened for anyone under 18. For new kids, anybody born in 2025, 26, 27, and 28, there's going to be $1,000 seed money from the federal government that will go into this account.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked, like kind of right off the bat, if you've got a child that qualifies for that seed money, that could be an incentive to open the account.
Absolutely. It's free money.
Free money. And none of this is going to be in play until July of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
From there, there's a maximum contribution that authorized savers can add to that account along the way, and that's $5,000 a year. And the authorized saver is parents, grandparents, some adult siblings. Employers can add to it, but it counts towards that $5,000. So there's some different things like just the rules around that, but it's a $5,000 annual maximum contribution that can be added per kid account, per Trump's account. It can only be invested in U.S. equities, exchange-traded funds, or some index mutual funds. So that means U.S. stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Once the year they turn 17 is the last year you can add to it, and then it turns itself into an IRA that has the IRA-type rules. So if you take out of it before 59 and a half, you're going to have a 10% penalty unless it's for some very specific things. College education is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
First-time home buyer, there's a small amount you can take from it without a penalty. If there's a disability, there's some different exceptions to the 10% penalty. Any of that growth or anything that's not been taxed before gets taxed as income on the way out. So it's an interesting concept and could really fit in certain situations. But really thinking about what the goals are, probably the most flexibility for the use of those funds is going to be the education, because there won't be as strong of a limit on what you can pull out and avoid that penalty. There are better education options for savings. So I think, you know, we'll kind of see how these all
play out
a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on, I know you're familiar with them as well.
Yeah. So when I was diving into them, you know, one of the things that kind of came to mind is, A, anytime the government's going to give you free money,
take advantage of it.
Take advantage of it. But I also could see still favoring like a 529 plan or one of the other savings avenues kind of above and beyond from a taxation standpoint. You know, a couple of years ago, they changed the provisions around the 529 that I think gave a lot more flexibility to those accounts than they had.
Correct.
You know, one of them being that you can now use those funds for private K through 12.
Right.
And even some homeschool, qualified homeschool programs. Mm-hmm. It just opened it up from an education standpoint. Because one thing, I know our kids are at an alternative school method, you know, where we never anticipated that our kids wouldn't be in public school, but they're in private. And so many families are really kind of taking control over what education looks like in the K through 12 years.
Yeah.
So it gives flexibility there. The ability to roll over those contributions at $7,000 a year or the annual limit into a Roth IRA for, you know, 5 years, I think is really huge.
Right.
Because if the goal is education, it's covered, you know, under the 529. If the goal is also setting them up for financial success, that way to get money into a Roth IRA, you know, after I believe it's 15 years, you know, that it's in the account, which if you start it young, they'll have met that. That's also met.
Right.
So I really love that flexibility plus the tax deductions of on the state side for contributing to the Wisconsin plan. There's some new nuances, you know, just coming down the pike now of the, how grandparent-owned 529 plans are going to be sheltered from that financial aid application.
Right.
So if you're trying to kind of play that system too of making sure that to try and get some financial aid when you get to college, I just really, I like those plans.
Yeah.
So I think that those are a great option too.
Yeah, that's another like piece of magic, having a $529 that don't get used for education for whatever reason. Maybe they were a little overfunded or the student spent less on whatever their education journey was. Being able to roll those into the Roth for continued tax-free growth forever.
Yeah.
So we like anything that you can get, you know, the free money, right? That's great. And tax-free growth is like right there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's another, you know, leg up that that the education account has.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that, Heather. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more in just a few minutes.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Wealth Advisor and Director of Client Experience. And today I'm with my co-host, fellow Wealth Advisor here at EIG, Heather Deaton. We've been talking, Heather, about how to set kids up for financial success. And on our previous segment, we were just touching on some of the accounts that parents can fund, Trump accounts that the government can put some money into, 529 plans to help kids be set up for success. But I wanted to touch just for a couple minutes on things that, like, how can kids get involved in some of the investing accounts too?
Yeah, for sure. So there's another type of account that typically is funded by a parent, but certainly could have a child's savings put into it, is called a UTMA. Mm-hmm. So an UTMA account, that is like a brokerage account, but for somebody who's under 21. There's some very specific tax impacts to if there's a lot of growth, if there's a lot of income in that account. So that'd be something to really plan out with your advisor from a tax perspective, what to expect. But that's a brokerage account that will grow in whatever way it's invested. And then by age 21, it's got to be turned over to them. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of a risk there, right? Yeah. Like, as an example, the 529 plans never have to get turned over to the child. They can be transferred to other kids. They can be transferred to cousins, anything like that. But the UTMA accounts get transferred back to the kid. But if you have someone who's interested in investing at a young age, they want to buy, you know, a share of an ETF, you know, that might only be $75. Mm-hmm. And then they could watch that and they could be really interested in the ups and downs of the market and what risk means, like, you know, again, the low cost that we're talking about for getting some experience. Another thing is when they have earned income, reported earned income, they can open a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have somebody who's maybe, you know, working at the pizza shop at age 14, mm-hmm. and they have a little bit extra that they aren't going to spend on something different, or they're not saving for a different goal. They could put that in a Roth. And we talked about the tax-free growth on the Roth.
The tax-free growth on the Roth, but also getting the experience of understanding compounding at a fairly young age as a teenager can be really powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about, had I started understanding that earlier than I did too, you know, just what that means and setting a future generation up for success of really understanding, hey, the market's going to be volatile, but in the long term, you're going to make money through the compounding of the market and you need to stay invested. That's a great lesson.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that gives them a reason to pay attention to the market.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say my one son, when he opened his Roth, he was 15. And he put a little bit of money in it and we invested it. And, you know, I showed him on his account what it was because it was a custodial Roth. I was, you know, technically in charge of it. And we invested his money and he said, okay, now what? And I said, well, now that money's going to be in the market and it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. Now we know it can go, it's up and down, right? But it's going to grow. I said, you can't access this until you're 59 and a half. And he says, 59 and a half? I said, yes. He's like, I'm going to be rich. Seriously. And he put in like maybe $700. So I'm like, we can hope. He has been very diligent about continuing to add to his Roth. You know, he's doing this kind of work, so he understands all that too. But I share that example with clients because I know, you know, we love to work with our clients' kids.
Yeah.
You know, I've had clients say, you know, my middle schooler is really interested in that. Will you talk to them? Well, of course.
Yeah.
How can you say no to somebody who's 12 or 13 and wants to talk to you for 20 minutes about investing or or that kid that's got excess and they're working, you know, again, like at the restaurant on the corner, right? And they're going to want to add to a Roth. Like, I love that. You know, that's another way to set your kids up for success is
absolutely.
You've got a professional that'll talk to them, mm-hmm. give them a little bit of time.
Well, you know, and some kids need someone outside of mom or dad.
Oh my gosh, for sure. Yes.
To kind of plant that seed. Yep. I've got one of those. You know, it doesn't matter what we say, but if they talk to someone else, it's going to make a big difference. You know, for that very reason, you know, we started a program here, you know, at Ellen Becker that's designed for helping emerging investors. And that term, that can be someone still in their 40s who's starting over, who didn't start, you know, earlier and is learning how to save. But it can also be those high schoolers, those college kids that are just starting out and kind of financially launching, of getting, you know, education, a trusted place to go for having a financial planner in your back pocket and asking questions. Because today, with an absence of a trusted place to go, kids are going to TikTok. They're going to things where I can't tell you the number of questions I get of saying, hey, I heard I can open a Roth IRA account for my kid. No, you can't. They're two. What can you really pay them to do? You know, but TikTok will tell you you can do that. Yep. You know, pay your two-year-old, you know, $7,000 a year in a Roth. So that having a trusted financial advocate and establishing that early on. You know, I know all of our advisors here at Ellen Becker are so willing to do that.
For sure.
And I think that that's a really important thing too, that if parents listening take away anything from here, hopefully it's they're hearing that they don't have to do this alone, that there's a partnership available to, you know, help set their kids up for success.
Yeah. And I always like to say to the younger kids, you know, well, now you can tell your friend that your wealth advisor told you that you,
because
you have a wealth advisor now.
They have street cred
from
having a wealth advisor cred. Yeah. Well, Heather, it was so fun chatting with you today.
Yeah, this has been great.
I'm excited to, you know, some of the ideas I learned from you just around the budgeting with the kids to implement for my own kids. So thank you so much for joining us today for Money Sense at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.